Welcome to Exhibition, an Xbox podcast, episode number 82. My name is Samuel Adams, and on today's show, we are talking about High on Life from Squatch Games that launched last week on Xbox and PC. We'll be checking out the review roundup, and I'll be giving my two cents on the first few hours of the game, completely spoiler-free. Next week, we also have a big Halo Infinite Winter update dropping, with Winter Contingency 2 coming out, bringing some holiday-themed cosmetics for free to all players, helping spread that holiday joy. We also have the confirmation that Dead Space has gone gold, and if you're getting an Xbox Series S or X this holiday season, Xbox has you set up with some tips to make sure you are off on the right foot whenever that big day comes for the gifts to be given. But we have plenty more to dig into on today's show, so without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into it. I've been sitting here for like an hour re-recording this part of the podcast over and over again, because where do you even start when it comes to High on Life? There is so much to break down with this game, but I guess we can start with the fact that it's out, you can play it on your Xbox or your PC, and it is available via Game Pass, where it launched on day one, and I think that is a great move, especially for this game, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. But High on Life is pretty much if you combined Rick and Morty brand humor with a first-person shooter and smashed it all together. That's High on Life. That's the most accurate description I can ever imagine for this game. And so I talked about that in a YouTube short earlier this year, and it blew up. It became my most popular video of all time, over 10 years of doing YouTube, and it got about 1.3 million views, give or take. And that shows just how excited people are for this game, and also how much people love Justin Roiland's brand of humor, which is a very, very central part of this conversation. Justin Roiland's brand of humor. If you don't like Rick and Morty, if you don't like Solar Opposites, you are not going to like High on Life. I cannot emphasize that enough. If you are not into that specific type of humor, where it's very crude, very lowball, if I do say so myself, humor, which again, I love it, not a dig at it, just calling it what it is, you are probably not going to dig this game. However, I totally love it. I think it's great. But let's go ahead and check out the reviews right now. So it's sitting at a 67 on Metacritic for the PC version, a 61 for the Xbox Series X version. Both versions have 17 critic reviews, but Game Informer has it at a 58 out of 100 on Metacritic scale. You also have it from GameSpot at a 70, Shaq News at a 70. We have Screen Rant at a 60, PC Gamer at a 40. So very much so all over the place. But one of the central threads in all these reviews is the reviewer either enjoys and appreciates Rick and Morty humor, or they don't really like it. And I think, once again, that is what the defining factor is here, because with High on Life, no one needs to go into this game buying it for the gameplay. You are not going to be buying this game thinking that you're going to be getting something that is on par functionally, mechanically, with a Call of Duty or a Battlefield or a Doom Eternal or anything like that. In fact, I would say that the most comparable first-person shooter experience I've had recently is Journey to the Savage Planet that was on Game Pass a year or two ago. But that's kind of how the game plays. It feels very clunky, in my opinion. Feels a little clunky, just calling it what it is. And the puzzles themselves are pretty rudimentary, nothing really too complex here, because there is a little bit of puzzle solving thrown in there. But again, these mechanics are a means to an end to get the jokes delivered. That's what this is. You have to play the game to actually get the narrative that you want. You have to play the game to see these jokes delivered and to explore this world where a lot of this humor is kind of hidden, and you'll find a lot if you pay attention to it. And so if you enjoy this kind of writing, if you enjoy these kind of jokes, there are plenty of them to be had. And so the story itself is told mainly through the weapons that you use. They're all fully voiced by a pretty high-profile list of voice actors. I mean, looking at it now, you've got Justin Roiland, Michael Cusack, J.B. Smoove, Betsy Sodero, Tim Robinson, Laura Silverman, and Dave Herman, just to name a few, with some additional that go down the list. But that's a pretty impressive list right there. And so the quality of the delivery of these lines is a key in this game being as good as it is, because the writing is really the star of the show. And so through these weapons, you get some really great back and forth banter with the main characters, also with the side characters that you find along the way. The NPCs are hilarious. And of course, the televisions that everybody's been talking about. The entire world is filled with TVs that are running ads and TV shows and movies, full feature films, literally. Real movies, not like animated stuff they've made, like full movies that are just there waiting for you to watch. There are some hilarious gimmicks throughout the game, including Space Applebee's. Now, I personally have not gotten to Space Applebee's yet, and they literally call it Space Applebee's with a full Applebee's menu in there. Justin Roiland said it's parody. I don't know. Sounds like a lawsuit. Either way, the humor is hilarious, and I am roughly about 2 or 3 hours into the game itself. And I am of the mind that everybody should take this game at their own pace, because I don't want to, for instance, sit down and watch Solar Opposites all day. I don't want to sit down and watch 5 seasons of Rick and Morty. I can't do a lot of it at once, but I can do a lot of it over the course of a week or so. And so I'm slowly taking it a bit by bit. I'll play an hour or two here and there, and I get some chuckles along the way. But as a full-priced game, I can't confidently say that people should go out and get this one in the first month of its release. I think that if you hold off and you pick it up for about 20 or 30 bucks, maybe 40 thereabouts, you'll probably feel like you got a good bang for your buck with that. But as a full-priced $60 game, not a $70 game, but a $60 game, I just don't think the value is there. I mean, we're talking about 10 hours of content for the story itself, and there's plenty of replayability if you want to go back and collect stuff, but I still don't think it's not a $60 experience in my book. Now, when it comes to Game Pass, this is one of those gems. This is one of those Game Pass gets that really adds a lot of value to that service, because this is what I pay for Game Pass for. The games that are good, the games that get a lot of marketing buzz around them, but that I'm not quite ready to buy on day one. And so I can confidently say, I'm going to raise my hand and say it, I would not be playing High on Life if it weren't for Game Pass, because it gives it to me on day one. It's there waiting for me. Why wouldn't I want to play it? I can at least check it out. If I don't like it, the only thing I've wasted is a couple of hours of my time. And so the fact that I do like it is just icing on the cake. I'll go back, I'll play some more, probably going to play some more after I finish up this podcast. And thanks to Game Pass, I can play through it, complete it, and it's all good, ready to go, done and done. So that's kind of my first impression on High on Life. Once again, the Metacritic reviews, you can take them for what they are. Personally, when it comes to reviews, everything is subjective. If you enjoy this writing, if you enjoy this brand of humor, you should check out High on Life. And we'll leave it at that. In one of the weirdest news stories of the week, Amazon Games is now going to be publishing the next Tomb Raider. This is weird because earlier this year, Square Enix sold off a lot of their Western IP and development studios to various entities across the gaming industry, with Embracer Group swooping in and picking up Crystal Dynamics. And with Crystal Dynamics came the rights to Tomb Raider as well. And so now, effectively, Embracer Group, one of the big owners and publishers in the gaming industry today, instead of publishing that game, is now giving the publishing rights over to Amazon. So I don't know what kind of deal was made there, but there is some debauchery afoot, if I do say so myself. However, reading from GamesRadar.com, they write, quote, Amazon announced the publishing partnership in a press release, noting that this is the company's first single-player narrative title, following up on the success of multiplayer games like New World and Lost Ark. The press release also features a few scant details on what to expect from the game. The new Tomb Raider, which still does not have an official title, will include, quote, all the elements that have made Tomb Raider one of the most revered franchises in gaming, giving players control of the confident and multidimensional hero Lara Croft in an environment that rewards exploration and creative pathfinding, with mind-bending puzzles to solve and a wide variety of enemies to face and overcome, end quote. So, we also know this game is going to be running on Unreal Engine 5, and it does not have a release date as of right now. I'd say this one is still a pretty good ways off, probably looking at like 2025, if I had to guess, for a pretty safe, comfortable release date. But who knows? I mean, you're talking about Amazon Games here, could be even further out than that, because There have been a lot of issues with Amazon games over the years. We've seen games that have launched and immediately been pulled from sale a couple of weeks later. We've seen some games that have launched and flopped and shut down. We've also seen some big successes. As they mention here, New World, Lost Ark. These are some pretty big successful titles. So maybe Amazon Games is finally starting to kind of get some girth to them, some feet under them, to where they can start to kind of walk forward and figure out what the future looks like as a big publisher. I'm just still trying to wrap my head around why. And if you have a theory, I'd love to hear it down below. If you're watching on Spotify, I know that they have the Q&A section, so this is going to be the question of the week. What is going on here with Amazon Games publishing Tomb Raider? Because I'm trying to wrap my head around why, and it's got to be some kind of big business deal, some kind of big business partnership, because this one just isn't adding up. But publishing aside, you know, let's assume everything goes super well and the game makes it to the finish line and it is, again, the successor to Shadow of the Tomb Raider that we really deserve because those games are great. The recent three Tomb Raider games have been bangers. Sounds good. Amazon Games has some money. You know, if Microsoft is going to be publishing games in the future, Amazon should get in there too. Let's have some big competition. It's like Godzilla going up against Mothra. Is that the big moth one? But putting those two head to head, you know, let's see what happens. I'm ready to make some movie magic here. So I'm excited for the next Tomb Raider. I hope you are as well. But if you haven't played those three recent games, you definitely should check them out because those are some really, really well-done experiences. We're back once again to talk more about Activision, Blizzard, Microsoft, Sony, and this dumpster fire of a situation in which these companies find themselves, because it has gotten messy over the past few weeks. And am I exaggerating a bit, calling it a dumpster fire? Not really. You know, it's just every day I wake up and it's mudslinging from one side or another. You see Sony throwing shade at Microsoft. You see Microsoft throwing shade at Sony. You see Nintendo posting about the Super Mario movie, ignoring any of this is going on, which is exactly what Nintendo has always done and should always do, quite frankly. But it has become quite the situation. And so to recap, over the last few weeks, we saw Microsoft offer Valve and Nintendo a 10-year contract to bring Call of Duty to their platform. It seems that Nintendo has accepted that contract. Valve said they did not need to sign it because they trust Microsoft to keep their word and bring these games to their platform. So you have, effectively, Valve and Nintendo kind of co-signing the fact that they approved Microsoft being in control of Activision Blizzard. Sony was offered the same deal, but declined. And they have said that it's not adequate once again. Yada, yada, yada. They didn't take the deal. Then the FTC has sued to block the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard. Microsoft is set to defend their position. And so now we have the legal cases coming to court with that. All the while, Europe is still investigating Microsoft, making sure everything's on the up and up. So then we have yet another ripple in the fold here with now, in addition to 10 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation being offered, we have 10 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation Plus being offered. So that would effectively mean that rather than making Call of Duty a Game Pass subscription exclusive, where you can go in and subscribe to these various services, but the only place you can subscribe and get Call of Duty is on Game Pass, they are now saying that PlayStation Plus can offer Call of Duty as a perk to their subscription as well. Now, what kind of additional royalties are meant to be paid from that? What kind of deals are going to be struck? That is TBD, because I guarantee you that's not free. That's not Microsoft saying we are going to allow you to put these games on your service without any kind of funds coming our way. That's just saying we are going to lock this down to be a Game Pass exclusive. Has Sony taken that? Again, kind of unknown right now. But that offer has apparently been made as reported on by Bloomberg and confirmed by Kotaku as well. That's kind of where the situation lies right now. I think a lot of people are kind of stepping back for the holidays. You know, in a way, it kind of reminds me of what the U.S. government does, where there are all these back and forth deliberations, and then Thanksgiving hits and everything's on hold until like February or whatever the actual date is. The holidays are just this abyss where nothing gets done. And I get that. But really interesting stuff to see here. And I think that, once again, this all comes down to getting more games in the hands of more players. And so for Microsoft, if that means offering these, you know, kind of peace deals, if you will, to Sony, where they say you can keep Call of Duty on PlayStation Plus if you want, or you can put Call of Duty on PlayStation Plus if you want, we'll keep the game on there for 10 years minimum and then revisit when the time comes and renegotiate. There's a lot of that kind of conversation here where you're trying to get more people into the Xbox ecosystem, even if it isn't through Xbox. That's the biggest part of this conversation. They don't care where the money come from. They don't care where the players come from. It all comes down to more people playing these games, and the money will come. If you make Call of Duty into a bigger phenomenon than it's ever been before by putting out great games on more devices, you are going to generate revenue. And however that makes everybody else happy, just make it happen. And I think that's kind of their mindset right now. I'm still curious if the deal ends up going through. I personally think that it's going to go through because as we talked about on last week's show a bit with Luke Lore, the Insipid Ghost, over on the Xbox Expansion Pass, the FTC is suing to block, but they did so on the grounds that whenever Microsoft acquired ZeniMax, they failed to make ZeniMax games and Bethesda games multi-platform. However, the European regulation body over there on the other side of the world said they never required Microsoft to make any concessions. They never said that anything was wrong with that. So now the FTC, from my perspective, again, bystander novice guy, doesn't really have much to stand on in their case. And so I personally think that it's not looking good for people that are against this deal. And I'm pro Activision Blizzard acquisition because I think that Microsoft is doing well running their own studios. And I'm excited to see what they can do as far as the culture at Activision Blizzard goes. You know, get in there, make people happier, and happy people make better games. And on top of that, you know, seeing what they can do with, you know, the different IP that have been in storage for so long. You know, Tony Hawk, Guitar Hero, that kind of thing. Those are all on the table. And so many more that I'm not even talking about right now. You know, bring back a true Spyro game. I think that would be neat as well. And so there are so many opportunities here that I think that Microsoft should absolutely get this deal to the finish line if they can. But again, 10 years of Call of Duty, not only on PlayStation, but also as a PlayStation Plus game, is just going to lead to more people playing the game. Sounds like a big win to me. Now, if we're talking about first-person shooters, Halo Infinite's Winter Contingency 2 event is on the way, starting on December the 20th and running all the way through January 3rd. You see what I did there? I thought it was very tactful. But this is a great holiday-themed event that brings some awesome cosmetics to all the players without any charge. This is a free additional 10 tiers that are going to be stacked on your Battle Pass for you to enjoy and unlock through the holiday season. So what exactly is included here? So you have the Holiday 2022 nameplate backdrop as well as an emblem for your vehicle, your armor, and for your weapon. We also have the Snowbound skin for your Battle Rifle, your Hydra, and your Magnum, bringing kind of a snowfall look to your gun. A nice little light blue silver combo. We also have the Sweet Side Visor that looks like a candy cane, the Holiday Cheer grenades for your chest piece, and then we have the Silent Nightcap helmet effect to cap everything off. Pun heavily intended. And so overall, this was announced during the Halo stream last week, and I think that this is a really nice little addition to the holidays. I think that this definitely blows last year's winter contingency out of the water. I think that it's awesome to see like a Santa hat coming into the game and just that kind of stuff that's kind of iconic from Halo past. To be able to see that come to Xbox One, Series X, and PC in Halo Infinite is something that gets me really excited. So of course, I'm going to be diving in. I've been streaming a ton of Halo over on TikTok, and I'm kind of toying around with the idea of bringing them back to YouTube or Twitch or something like that. You know, we'll see what the future holds, but I've been really enjoying going live and playing Halo because it's amazing how many people love this game. I think the public narrative can be so negative sometimes that we forget that the majority of people are just out here playing games, not talking about them or sharing their opinions. And so this has a thriving player base. The winter update has brought back a ton of people, especially with the Pit coming back in Empyrean, you know, that's exciting, and Forge is bringing some awesome, awesome additions to the game. So if you want to head back to Halo Infinite and check out this 10 tiers of the Winter Contingency 2 content, by all means you can, starting on December the 20th and again running through January 3rd. The holiday season is officially here. In fact, this is one of the biggest weeks of the year. Christmas is coming up. In fact, if you're watching the show, it's 1 week from today. Very exciting stuff. But as you prepare to slide an Xbox Series S or an Xbox Series X under the Christmas tree, it is worthwhile to prepare ahead of time, because more often than not, with so many households around the world unboxing a new console and starting it up for the first time, the amount of people that are updating their consoles or that are diving into games for the first time can bring servers around the world down, or at the very least, slow them down. Or occasionally, people will dox these big companies to where people can't even get online during the holidays, which, if that's the case, there's not much you can do about that. However, you can be as prepared as possible by walking through the Getting an Xbox Series X for the Holidays checklist that Xbox has put out earlier this week, because these are some easy steps you can take before you even unbox the device itself on Christmas morning to make sure you're ready to go. Now, first and foremost, if you have the ability to unbox the console ahead of time and download any software updates that are available, because right now, people are not downloading updates. Christmas morning, people are going to be update crazy, and so it may slow down your startup experience. But a couple of things they recommend you do are create a free Xbox account. You can do that on Xbox.com and log in immediately. It makes things super easy. You can also go ahead and sign up for Xbox Live Gold or Xbox Game Pass, depending on what you want. I'd recommend Game Pass, but if this is your first time with a new Xbox account, typically, within the box for a Series X or S, you can find a free trial code that gives you a couple of free days in there. So I would say get ready to sign up for Game Pass or Xbox Live Gold. You should also, as I mentioned, update your console, unbox it, start it up, make sure that it's ready to rock. And then, of course, you can choose your energy-saving approach if you want to keep it at full power, or you can go in energy-saving mode or sleep mode, whatever you want. And you can also set up the accessibility. Get ready to rock with whoever might be playing and make sure you have everything dialed in there. But mainly, get your Xbox account ready. Get in there, make sure it's updated, connected to the internet if you want, so that it's super easy to get started with it. But that will save you a ton of headaches on Christmas morning or whenever you choose to unbox your gifts, just to make sure that everything's in place and ready to rock on the big day. To wrap up today's show, we have two quick stories to touch on. First and foremost, there is a brand new dynamic background waiting for you on the Xbox Series X and S, and that is the Pentiment background from the Obsidian team. It is a waterfall in the art style of Pentiment, and it looks very nice, very peaceful. And again, I'm not the biggest fan of Pentiment myself, but I really do appreciate the art style that it does bring. So if you want to equip that, you head to Settings, Personalization, Background, Dynamic Background, and you can check out the entire roster of options there for you. But we also have confirmation that Dead Space has gone gold. Motive Studio writes, "We are whole again. The entire Motive team is excited to announce that Dead Space has gone gold. Thanks to all the fans who supported us this far. See you all on January 27th. This is by far one of my most anticipated games of the year, and I cannot wait to pick this one up, but it is always nice to get that confirmation that everything is on track, and I'll be ready to pick this one up on day one." But that wraps up this week's episode of Exhibition, an Xbox podcast. If you enjoyed the show and you're new here, hit that subscribe button over on YouTube or add the show to your podcast feed of choice and get it delivered right to you each and every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. But until next week, you guys have a fantastic one. I'll talk to you soon. And remember, keep on playing.